Extra time is exactly how I find out what's going on in the MLS.
Get lost. Get lost.
Maybe this podcast has influenced me a little bit as well.
Everybody up here, every single day, goes into the office, into the laboratory, to try to cook up some great stuff for you guys.
That's why he's here!
Wow, from New York, New York, you are listening to Extra Time, driven by Continental Tire from Kansas City. I'm Andrew Wiebe with my partners in soccer, David Goss, Matt Doyle. Drum roll, please! He's back, baby! Chuck D, Charlie Davies, pump it up! Oh, it feels good. It feels good to have the squad back. Kalen's back in the mix. Charlie's back in the mix. The season starts on Friday on ESPN Plus at 8 o'clock, San Jose, Houston. Right after that, you've got Western Conference Final rematch, Seattle and Minnesota, and then games on Fox, on Unimas, on ABC throughout the weekend. We will get you those times. We've got an incredible show today. I said the Avengers are coming. Taylor Twellman, Stu Holden, Ramsey Sandoval, the call-up crew coming back for another one. MLS assist, Steve Zakuani. Am I missing anybody? The Cooligans! That's everybody. We've emptied our brains. Everybody but you, Charlie. How do you feel to be back, man? We're thrilled to have you.
I'm pumped. It's been too long. I missed you guys. I'm excited for this season. I think this is going to be a great year considering what we just came off of 2020, how we were able to salvage that season with the MLS's back tournament and then the playoffs. This year, everyone's ready. Everyone knows what to expect. We're starting to see some fans. I'm pumped.
Forget 2020, by the way. I went from Eeyore to just completely burying Nihilist Wiebe. CCL. 4-for-4 as we record this. Columbus Crew hosting Real Esteli tonight with a 4-0 aggregate lead. We're about to make it 5-for-5. And look, might we be stepped on?
No.
In the quarterfinals?
Never.
Might it get painful from here? No. We're going to have four teams in the semifinals, and we are winning this thing before we even get to the final, Doyle. Before we get to our games to watch, what we're most excited about in all these interviews, guys, tell me what you think about CCL. Tell me, just say I told you so to me right now. Bury me, remind me that I was Eeyore, but like 2 days ago.
I think it's important to take joy from moments. Whatever the future portends, when something good happens, it is okay to enjoy that good thing. And in leg one, we had the good thing of all the teams going on the road and getting results. And in leg two, so far, as you said, we're 4-for-4 with teams getting through. It will be 5-for-5 by the time people see this. That is amazing to me. What is more amazing is the way that these teams have gotten it done. Toronto FC especially, relying on kids from their academy and you know, player development from within, which is what a drum I've been banging for literally a quarter century. The ability to get players from your local market and turn them into top tier professionals. That's what MLS teams need to do. And we saw a ton of that this week. Obviously, Charlie's guy, Anthony Fontana, showing out for Philadelphia as well. Like it felt like a turning point. And on top of that, it wasn't just grit and grind with these games. All five teams showed like a real clarity in terms of how they wanted to play and the ability to execute it in CCL games against very good teams. And that is even like I am super jazzed about that because we need teams that have identities on the field and can impose that. I think it makes the game more attractive to watch. It makes it certainly more interesting to analyze. And we have five teams that have shown that already before the season's even kicked off.
That's beautiful. That Anthony Fontana hype train. Charlie's just at the front, tipping his
Charlie's driving.
Cap.
I don't know if he's going to let me on it because I was a doubter.
I've been here. I've been here. Don't even try to come on this train. Of course, we get more of that a couple weeks from now when we hit the quarterfinals. But this weekend's the big one. We've been waiting 4 months for it. It's finally here. National TV, as I said, it starts off on Friday night. FS1, 9:30 p.m. Eastern. Seattle hosting Minnesota United. Minnesota United with a new look forward. Minnesota United with two Boca Juniors players running the show in the attack. It's going to be an awesome game on FS1. Then on Saturday at 3 p.m. Eastern, Unimas Turien and live on Twitter. The father is back. He's going to Orlando. Joseph Martinez, we assume, starting against Orlando United on national TV, and you can watch it free. Right after that, 6 p.m. Eastern, LAFC, Austin FC. The first game for Austin FC in their MLS existence. In their existence, period. Big Fox, Fox Deportes. Then on Sunday, you got a doubleheader. First on ABC, 3 p.m. Eastern, Inter Miami, LA Galaxy, Beckham's old team, his new team, two incomplete teams. What will they be? We will find out. And then probably the best soccer, Crew Union, 5:30 p.m. Eastern on FS1. That's also on Sunday. Plus, games on ESPN Plus littered throughout the weekend. You should probably have ESPN Plus at this point if you enjoy this podcast twice a week. It really is sort of a must-have. You should sign up for our MLS Fantasy League. Go hit that up. We've got a league. Anders will tweet that out at extra time. Also, Predict 6 is back. If you want to win some prizes, if you want to have some skin in the game, go check out Predict 6, presented by BetMGM at MLSsoccer.com. Charlie, before we get to these interviews, it kills me to know that we can't just get an hour and a half for you today. Tell me what you're most excited for in week one. What have you circled on the calendar? What are you thinking about?
I'm really excited for the Union Crew game, that matchup. We talked about the Philadelphia Union losing Aronson and losing Mark McKenzie and how did they rebound. And I knew Fontana was going to slide right in. That was always the plan. He was going to fill those shoes left by Brandon Aronson. But Mark McKenzie, that's the bigger void. I don't know if Jack Elliott and Jacob Glessness is enough to do that. So it'll be interesting to see maybe if they add another center back that has that quality in the summer, and maybe that's the plan long term, but giving them the trial for the immediate future. And then the Crew, I love what they've added. They're already the favorites. But then I think what people are forgetting is the homegrown signing of Isaiah Parente. He was a quality player at Wake Forest, and I covered him for two seasons. I think he's surprised Caleb Porter a little bit this preseason. He's done very well. And so you talk about adding a player who can play a variety of different positions. He can be an 8, he can be a 10, he can be a 6, he can be an inverted winger. But they have so much depth. So seeing how they get the most out of their players from squad, you know, the starting 11, but also squad number 23 player and what that looks like, and Aiden Morris, allowing him to continue to develop. There's not that many spots in the field. So trying to figure out the right balance, I think that's going to be the true test for Caleb Porter this season.
All right. If we don't want to go an hour and a half, we got to get straight to these interviews. Anders, take it away. Make the edit right, man. We'll see everybody on Monday. We'll break this entire week down. Enjoy it. MLSsoccer.com and the MLS app are your home for all the coverage. Let's hear from the MLS Avengers. All right, well, always glad to have Taylor Twellman on the show. His mom has combed his hair and put him in his favorite sweater. It's the first day of school. It's an AT&T 5G call to the field. You'll see him on Sunday. LA Galaxy going to Inter Miami. It's a massive game on ABC. It's at 3 p.m. Eastern. Taylor, welcome. What's up, man?
What's going on, boys? I'm not sure my mom ever did my hair.
Really?
It'd take her 20 minutes. Look at this dome was this big at age like 6.
I was going to say, is she just born like that? I assume she would have gone with like the spit and push to get the nice comb on her, but you know, whatever.
That'd be a lot of spit for this size head.
Oh boy, we gotta keep it rolling if we're on this conversation. All right, man, this is a great game to start off. It's a great game. And you have sort of built-in narratives, which the listeners of this show will groan when I say, but you also have some really interesting soccer side stuff because, one, I have no idea who Inter Miami are or who they will be. And I have a little bit of an idea based on what Greg Vanney did in Toronto, what the Galaxy will be, but the personnel is so much different. And there are so many variable there, including Chicharito. What, as you do your prep for this game, are you honing in on? What is the big storyline?
Well, the big one for the macro level, for the sports center communities and those kind of sports fans, it's David Beckham owns one team, played for the other, and had his success. Naturally, that's what's going to sell on sports center, whatnot. And yet, when you then dive into the next level, literally 4 or 5 games in last year, David Beckham says, I need to be more involved. He goes and hires a good friend of his in Neville. They bring in Chris Henderson. Chris Henderson then brings in 2 Seattle players that were available. So they're changing the landscape of that locker room and what that looks like. Now, for Greg Vanney, it's amazing because for anyone that followed MLS, does anyone really remember when Toronto was bad? They don't, because that's how good of a job Greg Vanney did with Toronto. Toronto was terrible. Toronto was pathetic before Greg Vanney really took over. And so now what he did with Toronto, I would expect that type of progression with the Galaxy. Obviously, all eyes are on Chicharito. Will he score 15-plus goals this year? What does the supporting cast look like? What will look like this summer? All of those normal talking points with the LA Galaxy. But I don't think they're that much of a question because you know they will improve It's just we don't know how much they'll improve in year one. But Greg Vanney's shown the blueprint in Toronto. He'll do the exact same thing with the Galaxy. I just don't know in 2021 how good they're going to be.
So let's start with Miami. And I think it's the same question. I think they'll be better. How much better do you think they'll be? But more importantly, how much better do they have to be? What's a good year? What's a positive year? What do you need to see in August and in October to look back and say, Phil Neville year one, okay, and David Beckham as, you know, more involved, and it's moving forward?
It's a good question. It's a really good question, because you could look at it and say, I think stylistically they need to be a better team to watch. You know, we came in with these expectations for Miami and the colors and the brand, and then we saw a team that was pretty anemic going forward. And so if they score goals in bunches right away, you're going to say they're an improvement. I think they've brought in some guys from winning backgrounds, you know, the Leardoms and the Joneses of the world from Seattle that have had great success. How does that change? You know, what does a Robbie Robinson do, right? Like, what does that look like? In the couple preseason games that I've seen and seen reports on, he's playing as a target winger, almost on the left side, where then Higuain can drop in, Gonzalo can, Rodolfo's under. I just think stylistically they've got to be a better team to watch first to judge success. But I think Neville naturally, and even David Beckham will admit this, there's going to be some growing pains with understanding this league, what works in this league, how travel's a huge part of it. What do you do with players? A congested schedule because of the pandemic. They have to make the playoffs, obviously, but judging by last year, they made the playoffs, but that was different. If they're scoring a ton of goals in week in and week out, we want to watch Miami, then I would argue they're already an improvement than what they were last year.
Striker to striker, what did you see from Gonzalo Higuain last year? And what do you need to see that's different this year? Why didn't it work?
I would say I'm not going to be so far to say it didn't work. And here's why, Weeby. I'm going to defend Weeby for this comment, though.
Okay.
And here's why. Thierry Henry struggled. Tim Cahill struggled. Clint Dempsey, when he came back, struggled. Sometimes players need to get into it a little bit. Weeby, ask me that question July 1st.
Okay.
Because I would stunned. I'd be stunned if he's not scoring goals this year. Stunned.
And look, honestly. I would too. But it didn't work last year.
But here's my thing.
But neither did Pizarro. Nothing worked in Miami last year.
But I would also say, and Taylor, I know you're going to see this differently because you were a goal scorer. And the only thing that matters is scoring goals. He was a factor in the games. Everything went around him once he got to Miami. It was just really bad. And there were a few moments you could have said he should have finished that. And he could have finished with 4 or 5 goals. But that wouldn't have changed the perception. But he didn't look like he came here and he couldn't play in this league. It just didn't all click at the end of last year. And to your point, nothing clicked on that team. So it wasn't really set up for him.
No, but to Weeby's point, he's not being paid millions of dollars to come in and be a link-up player. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, I get it. Like, his hold-up play, his link-up play was sensational. It was fantastic, quite honestly. But he was 50, 60, 70 yards from goal at times. In this league, because of the roster regulations and whatnot, you're paying millions of dollars. Now, that's why the Robbie Robinson, that's going to be interesting. You know, this is a team that bypassed on Daryl Dike not once, twice, okay?
Yeah.
And by the way, Robbie's been hearing that. So Robbie now all of a sudden becomes an interesting part. So if he and Higuain find themselves on the same page and a good understanding, you've got a natural out-and-out winger in Morgan and Pizarro playing underneath. Weeby, ask me the question July 1st, and then I'll back it up. But I think it's too soon to judge whether or not Higuain can score goals in MLS, because nothing worked for Miami last year. And history shows us many a good players have come here and scored a ton of goals right away. Drogba, Robbie Keane, and many of players have come here and really struggled to score goals right away. And then all of a sudden it clicked. That's one of my biggest storylines for Miami. First 5 games. What does he look like?
We won't even have to have the conversation or ask the question. We'll just look at the box score and we'll know. If he's scoring goals, that'll be your answer. Let's talk the Galaxy, and I don't even want to start with Chicharito. I want to start with who you think the most important player on this team is outside of Chicharito. Who is the cog that Greg Vanney looks at and says, okay, things are going to revolve around that. They need to play well. If they play well, everything else is going to work.
Jonathan Dos Santos, my man. Yeah, I mean, I think we talked so much about Chicharito and his struggles, and I'm not saying we shouldn't have, but he wasn't healthy. Jonathan Dos Santos wasn't healthy. If he, I'd argue he was more important to that team in 2019 than Zlatan. And I know that sounds ludicrous and idiotic because of the 20-plus goals that Zlatan scored, and I get that. But Dos Santos, every single time you talk to the opposing coaches, to the opposing teams, to the opposing players, with Zlatan on the field, they all mentioned Jonathan Dos Santos. And so I think for Greg Vanney and the way he structures this team right down the spine, they've got to be better, especially at center back. We all know that. But I just look, Jonathan Dos Santos, with the revival he had in 2019 from Mexico, if that's the guy you get, then I think everything else comes in. The X factors are the wingers. The X factors are the center backs. I get all of that. But if you don't have Jonathan Dos Santos, you guys tell me, what is their answer then in midfield? I don't have that.
And if he they have legit one and a half positions.
Yeah, if basically. It's him and legit, I feel like they have answers. But if it's not, then all of a sudden the season starts to look like it might fall away pretty quickly for them. Chicharito.
Weeby held
Chicharito.
Himself off for 30
I did,
seconds.
Man. I did.
He's
my, you know, my big dream for this season is that Chicharito gets back in form, scores a ton of goals, forces his way into El Tri, and then by the time Gold Cup and maybe more likely World Cup qualifying hits, Tata has looking up here and he's saying, you know what? I don't have a choice. I got to bring him back. How likely is that scenario?
And then Chicharito goes, sorry, MLS playoffs are coming up, and turns down the call-up. Narrative complete, Weeby. You're welcome.
Yeah, that would be good. Or he calls Carlos Vela, and Carlos is like, look, Javier, you don't got to go, man. You don't got to go. You can make the choice.
I think less about, for Chicharito, I think less about the Mexican national team call-up than I think of the putting on the LA Galaxy jersey. They went out, made you a marquee signing after every single marquee signing for them in recent years has really delivered. And I'm talking about the big names and how many analysts came on and said he's a bigger signing because of his ability to hit a lightning strike, that Mexican fan base and the Latino American fan and not deliver, he's got to score 20 goals this year. Now, if he scores 15, sure, and they have success. But my man's got to deliver. My man has to deliver for what the Galaxy did. And last year, he does get an asterisk. If he comes in this year, scores 18, 19, 20 goals around that mark, then everyone's going to look at it and say it was an off year. He moved, the pandemic, all of that stuff. But if he goes 7 games, 8 games in with one goal, oh, boy. Oh boy, so, that pressure is going to mount.
In coming into this, I was thinking, I think we had you on right when the Galaxy signed Roman Alessandrini, and we talked a little bit about how it felt like a different type of DP signing. And now they bring in Kevin Cabral, which isn't similar because, again, Alessandrini was 27 from Marseille, Cabral, but kind of, and it's weird one that it's the Galaxy that are making this. What do you make of the signing of what it means for DPs, the future of this league? Is there anything bigger picture you see in this, or is it just the Galaxy needed a winger and he was available?
I guess, David, the only thing I would say is this, is that it's the youngest DP in the history of the LA Galaxy. And the DP, the DP rule was made for the LA Galaxy because they were willing to go out and say, you know what, we're going to sign David Beckham and here's what we're going to do and this is what we're going to do. And so when you think of that, I do think this is monumental because it changes the way the league's looking at it. I've always been – you guys have heard me say this millions of times. The league get younger. Then you sell the players, and then all of a sudden you become part of the infrastructure of the world market versus taking Didier Drogba. And I get it. There's Messi or Ronaldo – yeah, at Neymar, at some point, you're going to say, okay, well, they may be 35, 36, but you still take that. But those are the outliers. In general, get younger, get players that have, I think, value on the an ascending value, for lack of a better phrase. But he needs to deliver. But a 5-year guaranteed deal, that's interesting to me.
That's the part.
That says that that tells me, Weeby, that he had leverage. Someone else wanted him. And so they wanted to get him under, commit to him, but also say, you know what? If he turns into a value, we're willing to sell him because we've got him under a 5-year deal.
We'll see if that scouting department got it right. Big game, You're going to be on it with John Champion on Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern, Inter Miami hosting the LA Galaxy. It's going to be front and center on ABC. Make sure you go check that out. Watch it. We're all on the train this year watching all those games, getting together to do that. Before I let you go, what's the other game you're watching for sure? You're going to make time. You're going to hit the DVR. You have to watch this game. You're just so interested.
Well, every time San Jose plays, it's the most interesting game ever. Actually, I'm going to give you guys a plug. It hasn't been announced yet, but it will be announced shortly here. ESPN Plus, 7 o'clock Eastern, Friday night, will be the first ESPN hour dedicated, no commercials, MLS preview show into the Houston-San Jose game.
Yes.
And I think that is going to be an interesting talking point for how we look at things and where this thing could grow. Obviously, ESPN Plus is growing like a weed. They just celebrated their 3-year anniversary. So that's going to be interesting. You know, we look forward to that, and hopefully something comes out of that.
Awesome, man. Well, if you already have doubles on that prize pack you got from ESPN Plus, I'll text you my address. Looking, you know, just seeing that swag was pretty.
The extra large headphones that come with it, your whole family could use that size of headphones they gave me.
Well, that's fine. I'll get the two kids on either side, and then, you know, I'll listen through them. Anyway, Taylor Twellman, 3 p.m. ABC on Sunday, Inter Miami LA Galaxy. Taylor, always great to have you, man.
Yeah, no problem. You guys can borrow my backdrop anytime you want.
Yeah. Oh, to LA we go, and the Stu holding the boat. It's a AT&T 5G call to the field. What's up, Stu? How's it going? I don't have my Minnesota United jersey. I never got it. What's up?
I feel like I'm rocking a pretty solid collection back here with the new 5 stripes, the Seattle, Jimi Hendrix, and then the Minnesota United.
This is a national TV move.
Put up MLS PR crews.
Yeah.
Hook it up.
We get like the year-old jerseys. I've got Montreal Impact still up here. Shh. I don't even
You're not supposed to say those words. Club de Foot Montreal.
Send me something then.
All right. That's culture. That's soccer culture. 6 p.m. Eastern on Saturday. Big Fox, LAFC hosting Austin FC. The very first game in MLS for Better Day. The Minister of Culture, Matthew McConaughey, making the rounds. Now Stu's doing his thing. You're going to be color with John Strong. We know the booth. We enjoy it. Oh, you did have the Austin in the background. Pulled the hat out.
Yeah, I get some Austin swag here too.
Are you allowed to?
I mean, technically no, but you know, it's like I don't let that show on air. You know, I've got the gear. I've got the LAFC one over here in the corner. I cannot be more excited about Austin coming into the league now. We've, you know, the trifecta in Texas, being a Houston guy. I have a little of affinity for Austin. My wife went to school there. I have a lot of friends there. So I can't wait to add that to the MLS circuit once we start traveling again. But I'm really excited about what they've actually done there in that city and just gearing up for this launch and what's been, you know, a tough year for everybody.
So we've been asking this question to a lot of people. I've never actually been to Austin. I don't know how Weeby's
have
familiarity. But what do you think this MLS culture will be being a Texas guy?
Yeah, so if you'd asked me 5-10 years ago, everything in Austin is University of Texas. And, you know, I'd watch the Aztecs and the Bull, you know, all the other soccer. They have a really big youth soccer culture in Texas. But I was surprised and pleasantly surprised at the way this team has been backed without even playing a game at this point. You know, you have good ownership, you have good guys involved behind the scenes. You have the right technical staff, I think, to kind of bring this team out in game one and year one and have them be competitive. And that in Austin is really important as well to kind of build that culture and that following. And I think it's going to be a knockout there. And I really do. I believe in just seeing the way that they've done it. It's going to be a fun team to watch over the coming years.
We know LAFC. We know how good they are. On this show, we all basically picked, other than Dave, I think we picked doubles for LAFC. So the test is very real in game one for Austin. What do you think of the roster that they've built? When you compare it to previous expansion teams, we've seen kind of both sides of the coin. Which side will they be on?
It's kind of the fun part of covering a first-year team, and that really going into game one, you know, I'm trying to comb YouTube footage and asking Austin for clips of their games and trying to, you know, follow beat writers to see really how they're going to play on game one. It seems as though it's going to be a 4-3-3, Greg Berhalter-esque, you know, for Josh Wolf. They have the pieces. They recruited those types of guys. I think they've been really savvy in the way that, you know, Nick Lima is a good pickup for them, Matt Beisler. I really like Ring. That one actually caught my eye when they signed him from New York, because he's just you know, he's an all-around leader in the middle of the field. I don't want to call him a destroyer because he's a very good passer as well of the ball. They made him captain, club captain on year one. So, you know, a guy like that in the locker room is important. And then going forward, you know, guys like Pochettino and just guys that we don't really know a lot about and have tried to, you know, do our digging on clips in the past. And that's going to be the difference maker. I think be solid defensively, have the ideas of the way that they want to play. But, you know, game one, they might just shock us all and go on the road and beat LAFC. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibilities.
I keep forgetting and then remembering that LAFC beat Seattle on the road in their first game with that Diego Rossi goal. I'm like, it could mirror this. I'm curious from your point of view, you know Josh Wolf better than us. How does he become his own manager this first time and not just Greg Berhalter like?
It's the same question you end up asking all the Bob Bradley disciples. You know, how do you come from the Bob Bradley lineage and not talk like him, walk like him, coach like him? And you know, I think you take all the good things that you did from Greg and that you learned from Greg and the way that he coaches and does his video, but then also you add your personality, your own ideas, your own identity and style of play. The challenge, I think, for Austin, let's say it is going to look like that, is if you're playing out of the back and you have a group of first year guys, it's your first year in the league. How long do you stick to that and say, this is the way we're going to play. We're going to be good by the summer. And then by year's end, when maybe you're getting rinsed early in the season, I don't think that's the case, but again, we don't really know what this is going to look possible. Like. It's part of the fun parts.
All right, LAFC. We got to go there, and we got to go to Carlos Vela first. I made my predictions, put him in ink, and I said he would win the Golden Boot and MVP. I just can't see a scenario when Carlos Vela is healthy, or even at 80%, where he is not by far and away the best player in this league.
Stu, just so you know, just to start this real quick, Weeby has an Instagram video where he picks someone else as Golden Boot, an article where he picks someone else, and ETR where he picked a third person. So he put it in ink.
The infamous Weeby list. You know? Yeah, exactly. He covers himself from all angles. He's really smart. He's got one, two, three, and one on the backside. Really smart. Look, I'm not quite as bullish on LAFC as everybody else seems to be. I think defensively still they're a liability. One of the best attacking, yes, of course. You know, Rossi, Vela. What happens with Rodriguez? Does he go? Does he stay? The loan spell for him is not going particularly well over in Spain right now, which I'm not incredibly upset with because they're competing for promotion with Mallorca. And, you know, I changed the hat and put my Mallorca jersey on. But look, this is a team that ships goals too. I mean, they can score them, but they ship them. And still, I think going into the season, not knowing who their starting goalkeeper is it Vermeer? Is it Cisniega? Is that a goalkeeper that's going to win you MLS Cup? Either of those guys? I don't think so. A back line of if it's Blackmon, Palacios, and then Murillo and Segura. Segura, I think, is a very good defender. Does that partnership grow? These are the things that I'm looking for to be convinced that LAFC can be Supporter Shield MLS Cup champs. Right now, I'm still on the fence with that. And that's also because I don't know if Rossi makes it the whole season. Who do they replace Rodriguez with? Does he stay or does he go? So there's a lot of questions. And still really no out-and-out number nine striker. Corey Baird's not going to score you 20 goals this season.
Danny Musovski might. Musovski Hive right here. Let's go, baby. No, I'm just kidding. He's got like 5-7. He's got 5-7. I know it. Before we let you go, Stu, you're going to be doing a lot this weekend. You got a lot on your plate. What are you watching outside of that big one on Fox? What's the big game for you outside of that?
Can I pump another Fox game?
Of course you can.
I have to. I just think that we have a blockbuster slate. You know, Seattle, Minnesota, you remember that playoff game we had last year was one of the best games in MLS Cup history, playoff history. And then the one I'm most interested about, honestly, is Sunday, Columbus against Philly. I have Columbus, as do many others, up there with the favorites to win MLS Cup. I actually have them as my favorite right now. And the Philadelphia Union, okay, McKenzie's gone. Aronson's gone. They're going to struggle, right? No, this team is going to be very good. They are going to be very good. And I think they showed that in CCL against, okay, a weaker Saprissa team. But I think it was also two games in essentially what is a preseason to come out and look the way that they did with Jamiro Montero and Santos. They get back Shabilko. Is Anthony Fontana going to score 10 plus goals this year? I like this Union team. I like the character they have, and I'm excited to see what that looks like against Columbus. I think that might be the highest level of play we'll see from a game this weekend, because you're going to have teams that have played in the CCL already. So I'm excited to see that one, and it's going to be a fun weekend, man. MLS is back, guys. Yeah, you know, it's a big smile on our faces. All the predictions, we get to actually talk about real games.
I'm done with hypotheticals. You're right. It's time for the real thing. I lied. Anders is going to kill me. Is MLS going to win CCL this year? Because all these games are on FS1. We're watching you guys broadcast them all. I went from Eeyore to conducting the hype train last night. Will this be the year for MLS?
I know. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid like everybody else after round one. MLS is, you know, MLS historically have done well in the early rounds of CCL. And then it's, you know, semifinals, final where we blow it. I think this is the year. I mean, it's shaping up so nicely. If Portland can run Club America, I think America ends up winning that one. But then you've got Philly or Atlanta against them, a really good shot at a final. And then Toronto, I don't know. They've kind of, you know, Michael Bradley, what is it? The knife between the teeth.
Like,
that team is jacked up. They're ready to go. I think this is the year that MLS gets it done. Also because, look, semifinals in August versus now, yeah, and, you know, summer transfer window, et cetera, it's going to be fun.
Love to hear it. Stu Holden, follow him everywhere he does his thing. Of course, on Fox a couple times this weekend. MLS is back. Stu, thanks for joining us, man.
Thanks, guys. Thank you.
All right, it's time to Hablamos Soccer with Ramsey Sandoval. Tune in his own. You'll hear him on the national broadcast on Saturday, 3 p.m. Eastern, Orlando, hosting Atlanta United, one of the marquee matches of week one in Major League Soccer. Ramsey's, thank you, man. It's a debut. We're hermanos now. We have podcasts on the same network. It's beautiful.
Yeah, we're hermanos. We're brothers, man, with Hablamos Soccer coming into the mix. It's a pleasure to be with you guys. Excited as always. Major League Soccer is coming back. It's always a fun, exciting time. Some of these teams obviously making big time moves. The first kick this upcoming weekend. Some of the stuff that Major League Soccer has done. I love this new rule that has been implemented as far as the concussion rule. Man, that stuff is big time. I've had the opportunity to speak to Alfonso Mondello about it, and I told him this is brilliant. This is what it's all about when you try to, you know, mark the change in the game. CCL guys, Major League Soccer teams looking good in that. So there's a lot of good stuff going on. And again, guys, it's a pleasure to be with you.
Before we get to all the nitty gritty on Orlando, Atlanta, and we've talked this thing into the ground, so we're just going to let you take it. Tell us about Hablamos Soccer. Where can people listen? What's the show going to be about? What's the feel?
So Hablamos Soccer is essentially going to be coming in and hoping to do some damage as you guys do. It's a big time Major League Soccer show that obviously has a big production aspect of it from TUDN, which again with Major League Soccer is a great partner. I mean, we're hand in hand always trying to deliver the best product to the fans. Forget about covering the league and doing a great job with that. That is our responsibility. We have been doing that for a long time. For me, personally, it's been an honor to be on the call of these games in English and kind of changing the game to have these games in English in the Spanish network since 2015. I still remember my first game, my first goal, Akeen, LA Galaxy, Chicago, 2015. I was in a broadcast studio in LA. So
it was a good one.
Yeah. So 6 years later, guys, we're still doing it. You know, it's the same format, guys. We're gonna be live on YouTube, Spotify, all that good stuff. Hablamos Soccer is going to be completely and absolutely focused into Major League Soccer. We're gonna have great voices listening in. The episode you guys caught yesterday, which was our debut episode, had Dennis the Closet. And we spoke about some real stuff. You know, he said that the Los Angeles Galaxy essentially needs to have a completely different phase this year, that Javier Chicharito Hernandez needs to completely come up with a different tournament. Of course, it's going to be me alongside Daniel Nora. He's been doing a lot of stuff on the sidelines, on the pitch. He's also play-by-play for us in Spanish. But we're very excited. Again, we're going to have at least we promise that we're going to have great voices on every show, personalities from Major League Soccer. We'll invite you guys to come on in as well. Your producer told me you guys are fluent in Spanish, so you could do the whole thing in Spanish.
Yeah. Producer Anders, thanks, man. Really appreciate that from you. I'll work online.
I only learn and cram when I have a test at the end. So if you set me a date, that's when I'll speak Spanish by. So just give me a time.
It'll be a blast and a pleasure to have you guys on. But it's exciting, man. This Hablamos Soccer project, you know, it's been in the works for a while. We know how successful you guys are. And if anything, it's just a model that we look up to and we look into. And again, guys, Major League Soccer has expanded so much to what I like to call, you know, the obviously the English sector, which is really obvious, our Spanish sector, which is a lot of the Latin fans that love the games. And I know that there is a Spanglish segment in the middle of a lot of kids that kind of grew up like me, you know, and they may be, you know, Mexican-American, Costa Rican-American, Salvadorian-American, some Latin American, you know, with you know, perhaps a first generation and Hispanic parents that love the league. And it all kind of, you know, goes back to some of those first big time players that were in the league, like Jorge Campos, like Echeverry with DC United. You know, there's always been that important Latin aspect into this league. And I think it's important for us to kind of roll out the show. You guys do a phenomenal job. But hey, maybe someone is out there, you know, trying to get something going in Spanish. Bam, Ablemo Soccer is going to hit him right in front.
Yeah, hey man, flattery. That'll work every single time on us. All right, let's get to it. I mean, I think this game that you have on Saturday to kick off the season has a lot of threads that interest a lot of different like segments of the MLS audience. I mean, you have Joseph, the father returns. It's against his arch rival who he's dominated. Orlando City better last year than Atlanta United, but Atlanta United still believe in their heart that they are the bigger, better club. What do you expect from this match? What do you expect from Joseph Martinez in particular?
Yeah, you talk about a big time game for us to kick off, and you know, Major League Soccer always does a great job with these schedules and the way that they roll them out. There's a big game, by the way, in Miami as well. You know who they're going to be playing. My point is, they do a phenomenal job, and with Atlanta, you spoke and you covered quickly basically all the phases of this game. There's so many storylines. The return of the king, right? Jose Martinez, who certainly likes to celebrate goals in a unique manner against Orlando City. You know, Gabriel Heinze, how is he going to fare with Atlanta United? This is a big-time manager, a ton of experience. And listen, guys, saving spaces and saving experience. And as we say in Spanish, guardando distancia, which basically means, you know, I'm not comparing him just yet to Pochettino. But this is a guy who has the same type of professionalism and prepared himself in the same schools and academies to become a manager. You know, Pochettino obviously just, you know, eliminated the European giant yesterday with PSG. You look at Heinze, has a lot of that loco Bielsa type of managerial experience, that focus. A lot has been said about the way he works tactically. He's a phenomenal manager. I like the fact that, you know, Bocanegra, Atlanta United, they sat down and they said, you know, the experiment did not work here. Let's go ahead and bring Heinze in, which to me at least has a very similar profile to Tata Martino, who was absolutely formidable, won a title there within 2 years. It was absolutely nuts. So I think he's going to be fantastic in that team. I think Atlanta United is back. You know, we spoke with Danny and Ablemo Soccer, and Danny was telling me, no, you know, as long as they get in, it's fine. I'm like, absolutely not. I expect Atlanta United to be a top four team again. You know, you got Barco, you got Jose Martinez back, you got a great manager. Their infrastructure and the way that team is built, it's a big time team. Es un equipo grande, guys. This is a guy that needs to always be in the top four in the Eastern Conference, from their stadium, for the way that they were born. You know, I call these teams, you know, they from their inception, they were born a big team. They were born a giant. Nacieron grandes, as opposed to, you know, struggling. You know, become an expansion team. You come through and you say, well, that team may struggle. They don't even have a stadium, this and that. No, Atlanta United needs to transcend, and I think they're going to transcend again this season. On the Orlando side, guys, El Profe Oscar Pareja, a good friend of mine. How does that guy work? I mean, that guy deserves all the praise. Did phenomenal things in Dallas. Went down to Liga MX and did amazing things qualifying with Cholos of Tijuana. Not with a great squad. Not with a Tijuana team that, you know, Piojo Herrera had a couple years back. And he went back-to-back, you know, winning the Liga MX Supporter Shield, if you went first place. But he could have won a championship. The point is, he comes back. He gets an Orlando team for the first time ever into the playoffs. You know, when they couldn't do it in the Kaká era, in the Bautista era, he does it with this Orlando team. And then you get Alexandre Pato in, which, you know, I believe he's 30. You know, for these people that want to talk and say, oh, he's old, you know, he's already going to probably not be in his best moments. I don't think so, guys. I think this guy could come and do some damage. You remember the things he did in Europe, particularly with Milan, for everybody that's telling me this. You know, go look him up online. He's Alexandre Pato, a former Brazilian international starting CF, center forward. So I think he's going to be great. You look at Nani in that team, man. That's going to be a fun game. And you guys mentioned it. It's also a rivalry. It's interesting because a lot of people maybe don't want to consider it, you know, Georgia, Florida. Man, to me, that's a rivalry. You've seen what Joseph Martinez has done there. You spoke about it, guys. He's dominated them. But that era could be coming to an end because I look at this Orlando team, and it's a much more solid team. It's a team that's now in their second year with Oscar Pareja. So, man, I'm excited about that game. I'll be on the call of that game in Spanish nationally, I should say. And man, it should be fun. I couldn't even tell you who I think is going to win that game. I think it's going to be a very interesting matchup.
Hablamos Soccer. You can listen to it wherever you get podcasts on YouTube. Same as Extra Time, 3 p.m. Eastern on Saturday. Orlando hosting Atlanta United on Unimas, TUDN, and live on Twitter as well. Ramses, you got the call on TUDN. People can listen there in English on Twitter. Thank you so much for joining us, man. It won't be the last time.
It's an absolute pleasure, guys. It absolutely won't be the last time. Let's interchange. I'll come on your show. You come on our show. And again, guys, start practicing your Espanol because I'm going to be chatting with you in Spanish only.
Si se podemos. Adios. It's an AT&T 5G call to the field to Seattle. We've seen every room of Steve Zakuani's home, and we see another one. This appears to be the basement, maybe his office/gaming room. It's like House Hunters, but virtual. Steve, welcome to the show, man.
Nah, thanks for having me, man. Really appreciate it. Always a fun time.
You know how to get it, Steve. Covering the Sounders, right on MLSsoccer.com. We love having his work there, so check it out. Steve, we're talking to you about this Friday night game. It's not the first game of the season. It's the second. You can get that one on ESPN Plus to start it off, San Jose and Houston. But then it's a rematch of the Western Conference Final from last year, Seattle hosting Minnesota United at 9:30 p.m. Eastern on FS1. This is a great matchup. This is a perfect matchup for the neutrals out there. How do you feel about this game as you approach it?
You know, it's probably, to be honest, the least confident I felt going into a Sounders opening game for a long time. The team's changed and we lost a lot of experience. You know, Svensson's gone, Leerdam's gone. I don't know that the Sounders got better in the offseason, and that's me speaking objectively. Now, I never go against Brian Schmetzer and Garth Lagerwey. They're able to somehow figure it out. I think this will be a very tough matchup for the team. How fit is Rui Diaz? There's so many question marks, you know. Who's going to play? Who's not going to play? So it's not a game I would want if I was a Sounders, but it is at home. It is at home. We're hearing there could be some fans there. Not many, but some. That should help. Tough to bet against the Sounders. Minnesota did lose, for me, the MVP of the playoffs last year in Molino. So they won't be as good either. So I do think the Sounders edge it, but I'm not as confident as I should be.
How's Schmetzer going to line up here? We're seeing a lot of two forward systems in the preseason.
They have to. If you've gone 6 weeks, 5 weeks playing three at the back, you know, with two forwards, you have to do it. The big question mark for me was the fact that they went with Nuhu as the third center back. I couldn't believe it. But all the reports I've got is that he's still making the 70-yard dribbles from center back, which is, I'm sure Schmetz is just thrilled about. But he should be good back there, I think. He's a very good defender. Brad Smith, if he's anything like he was in his first stint here, will be a good outlet. You can't replace Jordan Morris, but you do need something on the left. And then, listen, Will Bruin, Rui Diaz, Freddie Montero, all proven double-digit goal scorers in this league. Two out of three of those in any given night isn't bad. So I think you've got the team attacking-wise that you want. I worry about the depth and then the loss of experience, as I mentioned, in Svensson and Leda. That worries me a little bit.
On this team this year, Jordan Morris gone, as you said, a lot of change. In my mind, Rui Diaz is the best player in this inside the six in MLS, which is great. Can he be more? Does he need to be more? What does this year look like for him if the Sounders are successful?
Boy, I'm going to answer that, but you're saying Raul's better than Joseph Martinez.
I said it. I'm not taking it back. You can come after me if you want. I said it.
I love that one. No, listen, big fan of Raul. What I like about him is the bigger the game gets, he seems to usually always perform better. His playoff record is phenomenal here. And we've had some great strikers in Sounders history. He's definitely the best inside the 18, for sure, we've had. How he pairs with Montero, I think that one's going to be a bit tricky. Both do their best work, in my opinion, inside the box, especially Freddie at this stage of his career. But Raul's Raul. Raul was stuck in Peru for a long time, and then I think he saw that Montero was scoring all those goals in preseason, so his visa sped up somehow, and now he's back. So Raul wants to be the man, and I think you want a striker that's greedy, that's hungry, that wants to be the man. And how he hasn't broken 20 goals yet in the MLS season, that surprises me for how good he is. So I think that should be a target for him this season.
So So we've talked about this midfield a lot on the show, how it's going to be composed, what Svensson leaving means. And I think it's Roldan and it's Chapalo, and that's very, very good. Ahead of them is Nico Ladero, and he's extremely good. We talk about Diego Chara having this fountain of youth. How long will Nico Ladero have a fountain of youth? Because he covers so much ground. He does so much. He's so committed. He plays through injury. He's always there in the big moment, but he just keeps ticking away the years. Is there a time where you get concerned, or Sounders fans get concerned, about whether he can do what he's done before at this level for an extended period?
Yeah, all logic would say that at some point he has to slow down. But if you spend any time around Nico, it doesn't look like it, because he's the kind of guy, he has a tough game on Saturday night, comes in Sunday morning for training. They say, hey, let's do a regen, a jog and a stretch. And he sneaks off to the gym and he's pounding away on the treadmill. So he wants to sweat. He wants to work. Comes in on his days off to push. So I don't think so. I think he takes extremely good care of his body. The way he plays moving around, he has to do that to be Nico. That's the way he is, Nico, on the ball, off the ball, gets the whole team going. I think with 2, 3, 4 years of it, we still have. And I know he wants to finish his career here in Seattle if he can. So I don't think he's slowing down. I think he's someone that probably will have a few more injuries as he's getting older and the minutes start to pile up. But when he's on the pitch, it'll be the same Nico we've always seen.
It's a perfect situation.
Luis Suarez, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, that too. But look, he's got Preki, Dave. We know. Yeah. Preki knows. Preki's telling him. He's in his ear. He's saying, go do yoga, Nico. Go do yoga. It will give you an extra decade, man. You can be an MVP at 38. You can get there. You can get there. On the flip side, though, Minnesota, they've got the young playmaker. What, Babello is 25. They go out and get an experienced striker in Wanchope. This is a team that, when we talked about them on the show, they were top four in the league. And now they have a number nine that could push them even higher.
Yeah, it's a good team. Again, losing Molino, just how well he played in the playoffs. He was dangerous. He combined so well with Reynoso. You can't replace that, I don't think. But it is a good team. I've always enjoyed Adrian Heath's team. I think this is a team that last year took a massive step forward. And to be honest, apart from a miracle comeback, they advanced past the Sounders. It just was a crazy ending to the game. So they'll have that little chip on their shoulder. I think so. They're a proud team with some proud players. We'll see how the striker turns out. But I think it's a team that has been steady, got better last year. Now this year is a massive year for that team. Can they make a leap forward? Coming into Lumen Field on Friday night and winning would be a massive, massive statement for the league and will put us on notice.
So you said with Seattle, it's one of the least confident you've been coming into first game of the season. Play that out a little bit. These first 2-3 months, what is Seattle doing? What do they need to? I mean, we all know that they can figure it out late in the season and still get to MLS Cup and win things. What do you want to see over these first few months?
I'm nervous for the first few games. I know they have LAFC in there a couple of times. You know, they play the Galaxy. Who knows what Greg Vanney's going to do there? They play the Portland Timbers. Always a tough game. So it's a very tough start to any season for anyone, for the Sounders. I don't want the Sounders to try to play from behind with this group. Because in years past, yes, Roman Torres, Svensson, Leerdam, you had guys with experience who've been around, knew what it was. It's a much younger group in a sense now, and you can't always depend on having a strong finish. So I think you've got to come out the gates flying, win a couple of games. Can you notch a marquee win over a hungry LAFC team, for example? Can you beat Portland Timbers in that rivalry game? I think a couple of signature wins would make me feel better, make the fans feel better, but a slow start playing from behind in a very good Western Conference, I think this year might be the year where you don't want to leave it too late because it might be tough to make that back up.
Did you hear that, Adrian Heath? Steve Zakuani said signature wins, but he did not mention Minnesota United in week one. I'm just saying. I'm throwing
it
out there.
He also picked Seattle over Portland. Timbers fans,
exactly.
Don't do that.
Get it on the board right now. Write it down. Put it in pen. Motivate your guys before we let you go, Steve. And people know how they can get at you, of course. MLSsoccer.com and all those Sounders broadcasts and everything you're doing in Seattle. What's a game that you're watching outside of this one? You have a perfect scenario. Your work's done on Friday. You got the full weekend just to sit back and watch.
I do. LAFC, Austin, because I always want to see how expansion teams are going to be. Normally end up going one of two ways. You can have the amazing, you know, like Atlanta and LAFC, Sounders, how that came in. And then some other teams who didn't quite do that. You know, I won't name them. we all know. So which way is Austin going to go? And I think LAFC, to be honest, I think it's a massive year for them. For me, since they come in the league, they've been the best team. I don't care what anybody tells me. They, for some reason, at the wrong time, just had injuries. They came to Seattle last year. There was no Rodriguez. There was no Rossi. Something always goes wrong in the playoffs. For Bob Bradley and those guys, I think it's a massive year to put together a great season and then finish it with an MLS Cup. And so they have to start well with a statement win against an expansion team. But that game I'll be looking forward to see, just is LAFC going to be as good as they've been? Did they get better? And which way would this expansion team go? Austin FC, the way of Atlanta, Seattle LAFC, or the way of some of the others?
All right. That game's on Fox on Saturday. We'll be talking again real soon, Steve. I hope we have more rooms to get through in the Zakwani abode.
He just keeps building them for
us. We're running up.
I know. Look, that's a tall ceiling I see behind you, man. That's a beautiful room. Thank you, man. We appreciate your time.
Thank you, guys. Always a pleasure.
Oh, we're always so delighted to join up with our sister podcast, The Call Up. Yes, welcome, Jillian Sakovitz. Welcome, Susanna Collins. Welcome to our monthly mashup. And as always, we're going to stick to things that are not quite in Extra Time's wheelhouse, but maybe can be over the course of time. Teach us, educate us. We have some different fun things to do with you guys. We're going to talk soccer. We're going to do that at the back end. And we're going to start right here with style icons in Major League Soccer for 2021. But first, I need to understand where we're going with this, because I have a lot of different thoughts in a lot of different areas. Susanna, Jill, help me understand what a style
Susanna
icon would be.
Susanna and I differ on criteria, and that's kind of the beauty in it. Like, I am very vain and go with, like, the things you can add on, like clothes. And Suze goes flow. She goes hair a lot. So you know what? The criteria is really at your disposal.
Okay. It's the whole look.
Really. All right. So who should we start? Can I start?
Yeah.
I'm just going to throw out two different options.
Okay.
You've got on one side, Kellen Acosta, who I think has really developed and become someone who, when you hit the gram or you see him in that pregame shot from the Colorado Rapids Twitter account or whatever it is, he has a lot of different looks. He has a lot of confidence. He's not afraid to take a chance. He might crop his pants. He might hit you with a color you're not expecting. He might have the purple jacket. He might do anything. I don't know what he's going to do, but every time I see him do it, I'm thinking, that is smooth. That is fly. That is not what I can pull off. But in like an alternative reality, I'd like to be able to.
I'm proud of you.
He's got great energy hair too.
He's like yelling at us about it.
No, I like how passionate you are.
Yeah, there's a lot of juice in this.
I didn't actually know I was going to be that passionate. I probably should have saved it.
That's the moments that this is all about.
So you have two sides of the spectrum here. One side is Kellen. The other side is Breck Shea, who is an icon on his own.
Wow.
An artist.
I love Breck Shea, but I very much disagree with
sort of, yeah, but he's like, you know, I'm not going to, I don't know what the right word is to describe his style. But it's sort of like, I don't care what the world thinks. Breck Shea is going to do what Breck Shea does.
Yeah,
and he's going to shock you. He's going to awe you. And he's going to put out art that I absolutely would love to buy and put directly behind me. But the price tag right now is just a little bit too high for me. But I think Breck Shea is an icon.
He's an icon because it's so authentically him. And he gives zero Fs. You know, like, he really just does not care one iota whether or not we think that his style is good or not. It's just him. So I like those. I applaud those answers. I feel like there was a lot of thought that went into that. And
yeah, now I'm questioning myself. I don't feel like I gave this a lot of thought.
Kellen Acosta shout is really, really good. Really,
I've been envying him for a while.
I didn't realize Weeby was coming with energy. I thought we were just here to facilitate you guys, so I'm not as prepared. I've got one.
Be confident. Yes,
I don't feel nearly as strongly as Weeby does about this.
Okay.
But and I think Susanna can attest to this. This is a great person who I'm very excited about and has that little bit of style. I'm going with Florian Vallot. He brings that French look every once in a while. He goes with the little glasses, the hat, always has a swag sweatshirt, which is like used to not be cool. And now it's like this guy can impress with it. So I'm going to bring up my guy, Flo, who's a legend. And that's who I've got.
That is so I'm embarrassed that I didn't even think of that.
You did France with him. So you saw him at his apex. Oh. He's strongest probably in his home country.
And at that point he had the blonde sort of tips going on. Mm. I mean, like he really pushes boundaries with the hair, with the fashion. And I appreciate that, but he can get away with it because he's French.
Yeah.
Oui, oui.
End of story. Oui, oui. Great answer. Jill.
All right, give me the icons.
I'm learning
Jill.
From you, girlfriend. Okay, so this is a little shameless preview for what you can catch on The Call Up. I hope this means that you actually will listen to it. But we did power rankings of coaches. And, you know, I'm going to give my top five right now. And that's because I think that this gives the coaches something to aspire to. I think this is a call to action of sorts. Mm. So number five, I'm going Phil Neville because he's got that David Beckham, like, Miami in his life right now. And we haven't seen, like, Phil Neville be a fashion icon, but I think he has the tools at his disposal. So, Phil, show us what you got.
Can I ask you what you think you're going to see on the sideline from Phil? Because it feels like Miami could be a tough
dressing
situation.
So I've been on the sideline with Phil Neville when the English women's national team was playing in the She Believes Cup.
Yes.
And then they have to all wear like the tracksuit kind of things. But I've also seen him. I don't know what
he
you
rocks
call
a three piece suit.
That's what I was expecting.
The three piece suit minus the jacket. No. Oh. It's like the vest part of it. That's feels like
wear a
what
tie?
I've seen. I don't really remember. Yeah, I think
that's
so.
Not going to fly in Miami, though. It's
no, but that's why I'm excited. That's why I'm putting this out here.
You guys, he's going to be wearing a Kirkland golf shirt. He's going to be so hot. He's going to be sunburned. I'm worried about him.
I was looking more for the linen suit.
That
like, give me the nice
English skin.
Yeah,
the white linen suit. What do you?
No. Oh my God, is he going to wear a baseball cap?
Oh,
no, guys.
Don't
what
do
if
it.
He just went full on Miami Vice? Like,
yeah,
pink polo, like white, like pleated pants. Like I would be here for that.
We saw Carlos Vela in a pink suit last year.
Yes.
Trolling Miami. It was a game against Miami. He didn't admit that it's to trolling, but I think he was trolling Miami. So maybe it can be like a battle between them. I don't know. At
like
number
that.
Four, I have Raphael Wicki, new coach of the Chicago Fire, because I think he's got that European swag that we love so very much. And I think he can really like challenge other coaches in MLS to step up their game. And then at my top three, it's tried and true, but that doesn't mean that someone else can't kind of hop in there. Greg Vanney, I'm excited to see the scarf transition to warmer weather. At number two, I have Lucci Gonzalez, because as you know, it's very hard to repeat in Major League Soccer. So I don't think he's going to repeat at number one and take the title of the best dressed of the Lucci Gonzalez best dressed coach award that we gave him last year. And at number one, I have Jim Curtin, because I think Philly got a lot of attention last year, and Jim, like, glasses sometimes not glasses, very trim and tailored suits that I really was appreciative of. And I think because he, you know, they got a few extra games on national TV, I think he's going to, like, up his Philly style a little bit, and I'm excited to see that.
Also,
he's at the sneaker
about
game, too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The shoes. Don't. Mm-hmm.
Are the they are new? Because important. They're always shiny. Do you wear a new pair every game? That's what I want to know.
Probably does.
We will find out. We but, will
yeah,
find out.
We'll get to the bottom of that. Okay. I'm so impressed with Goss and Wiebe, because I really struggled when thinking about a player style icon, like, which I was just like, we need more swagger. We need more guys that just like have that, exude that swagger. And I was struggling to think of players that I was like,
Keegan
no,
Rosenberry.
There's one. Thank you. Yeah. Why weren't these top of mind? So I this is a very basic answer for my style icon, but I had to go with Lucci Gonzalez, because I don't think this guy can do any wrong. Also, they sent me a life-size poster autographed by Lucci, and like, I'm sorry, but like, this is just am I influenced by swag? Yes, but look at this guy's outfit. Look at it.
Are you influenced by giant posters?
It's different. It's mindful. It's different every time out. Sometimes it's a cardigan. Sometimes it's a really tight-fitted shirt. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's a tight-fitted polo. Maybe it's a big oversized sweater. We don't know. He keeps us on our toes, but it always looks sharp. It's always fresh.
Can I call you out on something?
Do it.
I'm getting the feeling you're a sucker for a tight fit.
She did. I thought so, too. I was going to make the comment, but she did
you
throw
like,
in
you,
the big
like
baggy sweater.
You like to see
sweater.
A little of what you're working with is what you're trying to tell me.
But if we were thinking like icon, you know, like sort of like an icon, it doesn't have to be necessarily be a coach right now or a player right now. The one that sticks out to me is Tim Howard, because that guy just oozes swagger. And he helped me pick out a pair of jeans once in Columbus. True story. Sure. He sure did. And I was like, if Tim Howard approves these jeans, like I will wear these for the rest of my life. P.S. I still wear those jeans. The guy, he looks incredible. And now that he's working at NBC too, like he's elevated it even more so.
His watch game is probably worth more than most MLS teams by
Stop
itself.
It.
And it's
Stop
every
it.
Game, every broadcast.
Right.
He brings something new, and it's the tight suit. And then the watch is massive. But the suit is cut so tight, it makes the watch look even bigger, and it's a pretty hard flex.
God, if you don't give yourself enough credit, you notice the little details.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. You guys see?
Dinner plate on the wrist. What is the hair trend in MLS this year that you think is going to take over? Is it bleach? Because there's been a lot of bleach I've seen.
Okay, so I attribute the bleach to laziness and also, like, we were
in laziness?
Well, we were in quarantine, you know, all of last year, and guys were like, what can I do that doesn't necessarily, because they couldn't really necessarily get a haircut unless they were very brave or had a partner that was doing it for them. So, like, throwing bleach on is pretty easy, you know? So I feel like a lot of guys, like, I remember Alex Ring went, like, platinum, and it was like, you're just, you know, you're bored and kind of like, ah, let's see what we can do.
Also, Alex Ring, you were already basically platinum.
Exactly.
Like, was there, it's a waste of money at some
100%.
Point.
100%. So, like, for me, I think this year we are going to see a lot of very manicured styles, because guys can finally go back to the barber. They can finally go get their fades. I think we're going to see a lot of high and tight. And so I'll just take this one. My best hair is Jonathan Osorio, because this guy is impeccable. It is, every single line is sharp. The fade is perfect and underrated. His facial hair is so well maintained. He puts thought and effort into that, and that goes into it. So,
are you worried about quarantine beards coming into MLS after a long offseason?
Yeah. Well, we saw what happened with Gio Savarese, and so, you know.
But it's gone.
But it's okay. Because he listened. He listened to the feedback. It
wasn't
good. By the way,
anybody in Kansas City that has a good barber for the high and tight, I've lost my man. If you need one in Brooklyn, go to Jovid.
Mindy,
on Franklin
Mindy,
and Fulton,
Mindy's
he's
not,
a.
Yeah, why did we get Mindy in there?
We did the quarantine cut, and it was an abomination. And she didn't know what clippers did. She just didn't actually understand what
YouTube
a clipper
helps.
Does, right? Yeah, and so that was a struggle for us. I don't know if I have a hair icon right now. I think.
Really?
I don't think so. I feel like I need a couple weeks in, but I think that your best like. Easy off the top of your head choice is going to be Joseph Martinez, who probably should have been in the style icon side of it, because you know he'll switch it up. You know he'll take chances. You know, even if he goes like silver, the underlying cut is still going to be very good. It's not like he just threw the dye in there. He made sure that he had all the pieces together and it all fits. So I think he's going to be the one that surprises us the most, and I'm looking forward to that. Plus, if he gets hot, like, why not throw it up there? Go red, go whatever. You know, Joseph's going to have a year, I think, where he's regaining confidence.
Has he done that yet? Not that I recall. And he's got to wait, make up for lost time.
Exactly. Yeah.
He's got a year's worth of haircuts to get in for games. I have one here random. I'm going to throw in Diego Fagundes. He's shown some quality, but finally in a new city. Also, to Jill's point about Phil Neville, the heat now. So how does that, because he used to go Mohawk. Can you get that volume in that heat in Austin? I don't think so. I'm worried about it. So I think there could be some creativity there.
There is not a product that exists
that can handle the Austin.
Handle humidity. It's just, it doesn't exist. We've tried.
You could just do what I do, Suze, and then you'd be good. You can make it
just
through.
Bick it.
I can just help you cut that. I could actually barber you if you want.
I think we could do this for a half hour, but we should probably talk about soccer, right? Because the 2021 season starts on Friday. If you want more from the call-up, you know where to get it. Anywhere you listen to podcasts, on YouTube, MLSsoccer.com, the MLS app, Jill and Suze, every single week now, because you needed more. We all needed more. Every single week, coming at you on Tuesday evenings, correct?
Correct.
Yes.
That is correct. Yes.
So go get it. Now, we picked our MLS cups. Who's winning your MLS cup? And if you say Atlanta United, Jill, I'm going to freak out. I'm going to freak out.
She's going Atlanta, isn't she?
Okay, can I explain myself?
Sure, go.
Thought that's what this was all about.
Yeah, it is.
Open forum. Okay, so I am all about a revenge tour, whether it's like dating or life or anything. And I think Sebastian Blanco and Joseph Martinez are going to be on a revenge tour. And I think we are going to see 2018 MLS Cup literally take two. Wow.
Yeah, I respect that, because she went second level and went both.
Yeah.
Matchup. So
yeah, I think it's going to be LAFC and Portland like battling it out. And I think everyone's going to talk LAFC all year. And then all of a sudden Portland's going to be like, boop.
Okay.
Portland's a good shout. No, thanks. I picked the Columbus Crew. I picked the Columbus Crew to repeat, which is like, you know.
Well, you also picked Luchi Gonzalez to repeat. Think about that.
I know. Listen, I'm a creature of habit, apparently. No, I just look at like I look at Columbus right now and I don't see like a glaring weakness on that team. You know, it's like defensively they're strong. The midfield is incredible. Their attack is like ridiculous. So and they're well coached, you know. Caleb Porter knows how to win championships. So like it's almost like they kind of check every single box. And so I feel like it's theirs. It's theirs to lose, barring any, you know, serious injuries. I hope to God we don't see any massive injuries across the league. But I do feel like if we know how hard it is for a team to repeat as MLS Cup champions, we haven't seen it since 2011, 2012. I think the Crew are a team that are entirely capable of doing it.
You guys, on Monday, the other three people on this show all picked LAFC to win a double. So nothing we say could be more wrong than that. And they all went in. And I was like, this is ridiculous. And they all still did it. So those were both incredible picks compared to all the trash that's been on this show so far this week. And I appreciate
it. We'll see. Let's talk again. Groupthink is a beautiful thing.
No, I'm just kidding. Last thing before you go, because we're all thinking about this weekend. We're all waiting for Friday, of course, Saturday and Sunday. We're waiting for games. We've been waiting for games. I'm tired of waiting for games. I want to watch the games. What game do you have circled as your number one? I know we're all going to mainline as many as we can, but what is the number one for you guys this weekend? Suze, get us started.
I mean, it's hard for me not to look past LAFC Austin because it's always exciting when a new team comes into the league. And I think like everyone's just so curious about what this Austin team is going to look like. Put that on top of all the expectations that are surrounding LAFC right now, as Goss just pointed out. I just feel like this is one of these, like, it's a very sexy matchup, you know? And so, yeah, I'm going to, it's basic, but I'll go with that one.
I think it's a good basic. That one's up on Fox on Saturday, MLSsoccer.com, the MLS app for all your listings, all your coverage. Jill, what do you got? What are you thinking?
Don't be mad at me, but I swear I have two, and it's not because they're the other nationally televised
games. I do this all the time.
I know. It's like, stop it. Just answer the question. But I am so into the shadiness of the schedulers who put together David Beckham's former team with David Beckham's new team. I think it's going to be one of these games where we're so excited and it's going to be like trash because I don't think Miami really knows who they are yet. And like Chicharito, he's going to get the Galaxy good, but like it's not going to happen in week one. And I think it's not going to be a great game, but that there's so much like we'll see Victoria, we'll see David, we'll see Phil, that like it will all be okay because there'll be enough pageantry. And then, of course, Joseph Martinez said when in his preseason interviews, like, tell Orlando that, like, their daddy is back. that, like, so how can I not be excited that Atlanta's playing Orlando?
Next level trolling. It is.
I hope that's his first start. We shall see. That one's on Unimas and Tudian and live on Twitter on Saturday. You can catch on ABC, Inter Miami, and the LA Galaxy. This has been the Call Up and Extra Time, mashing it up for the second month in a row. We'll do it every single month.
So fun.
Suze and Jill, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us, fellas.
All right, we know you love Extra Time. You're listening to it after all, but we hope you love MLS Assist as well. Jordan Angeli, Joe Lowry here to tell you all about the tactics in the league, to go over all the nooks and crannies that sometimes we either don't get to or just don't see. Welcome to Extra Time, guys. Thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
Almost thanked you for having us, so you guys did. Almost got it elevated to host.
I know. It was one of those awkward moments.
Right off your first time.
Yeah, you check into the hotel. In normal times, and they're like, enjoy your stay. And you say, you too. So thanks for making sure everybody knew, Dave. Let's start with the tactical side, and we'll start with you, Jordan. We know that that's why people come to MLS Assist, because you guys look at the game in a different way with a very specific lens. What are you watching in 2021? What interests you?
Well, right off the bat, I have to, you know, it hurts my heart a little bit, but I'm going to make Anders proud that I have to talk about Seattle and what's happening up there, because I think we're a little bit confused about how they're going to play in 2021. Are they going to stick to what Brian Schmetzer has done for the majority of his time in Seattle? Or are they going to switch to a two front? I think it's really about who they can get up front. Is it going to be Rui Diaz and Freddie Montero next to each other? Of course, they have Will Bruin who can fill in one of those spots too. So are they going to play a system with a two front, whether it's a 4-4-2 or a 3-5-2? I'm questioning the three, but I think that is the tactical storyline, at least right now at the start of season, that I'm a little bit curious about. And if I know Joe Lowry at all, I feel like he might like that one as well.
I do. Jordan, I do. I feel like the only reason you hesitated with the three back is just because we talked about how Nuhu might be the left-sided center back in certain games, which is going to make for great TV. But maybe some not so good soccer.
Disagree. Exactly. Knew who on the field in any position makes for the best soccer possible. But it's the big storyline for the Sounders. No Morris. What do they do? What do they do with these forwards they've accumulated? And which fan favorite will it be? Will it be the Dancing Bear or will it be coffee owner Freddie? Either one, I'm here for it. Absolutely. Joe, give it to me, man. What are you watching?
Jordan went micro. I'm going to go macro. There are six teams in the East and two teams in the West with new coaches this season. You've got Atlanta, DC, Inter-Miami, Montreal, Red Bulls, TFC, Austin, and the Galaxy. How are these teams going to play? We feel like we have a pretty good idea of how some of them are going to play. You know, looking at Atlanta, we've seen them in CCL. That's just one example. Jordan, you and I have talked about earlier in the offseason about what we can come up with and what we can infer from past coaching tenures and data and film that we've been able to watch. But really, when the season starts on Friday and then on Saturday and Sunday, how are these teams actually going to play soccer? That is absolutely the biggest thing that I'm looking for tactically this season.
What is the team?
What's the team that you're most interested in? What's the one that has been? I have an answer to this, but you go first.
It might have been Atlanta before CCL, but I'm going to use that as a cop-out because we've already seen them. Right now, it's Austin FC. It has to be. The Galaxy are a really close second for me, but Austin, especially because it sounds like from what I'm hearing from media folks down in Texas, Nick Lima is going to be inverted a lot of times this year, like we saw in January camp 2019 with the U.S. men's national team. That has me jacked. I'm excited to see how Josh Wolf sets this team up both with and without the ball.
That game, that January camp game, is the game 5,000 people watched, but all 5,000 had broken minds on Twitter trying to figure out what position Nick Lima was playing for 22 minutes,
truly,
which was amazing.
Truly kindred souls here that we would all be jacked about Nick Lima inverted. I'm not sure that is a sentence right? That's uttered outside of these hallowed halls here. You said you were going to give yours, Dave. Can't cop out now.
For me, it's Toronto FC. It's the possession team now being coached by Chris Armas, and it's what direction do they go? And is there a spot where there's this glorious fusion of possession and pressing and counter pressing? And if Chris can get it all to work, this could be awesome. And if it doesn't, it's going to be a bit of a fire. And I think people are going to enjoy watching that as well.
And Jordan, come on, we can't have you on with Joe and have Joe and Dave make predictions and talk about what teams and new coaches they want to see without having you chime in here.
Well, I'm going to go opposite because we've all talked about LA Galaxy for so long and having Greg Vanney there. Can he take this group with so many good pieces and get them to play soccer together? Maybe cancel out some of the crosses, make Chicharito look like he's more involved in the game. That's the big question and something I'm really interested in seeing.
I'm going the other side. Miami's hosting the Galaxy. Give me Phil Neville. I mean, look, we understand who he is as an international coach, but it's a little bit different when you have a club team and you can choose your players. Have they chosen the right players this offseason? Does it all fit together in a coherent way? Is David Beckham's boy the right man for the job? Sometimes you don't hire your boy for things like this. Sometimes you go outside your own network because it works better. Will it work better? We will find out. We also know you guys love the hashtag player kids movement. We love that movement as well. Joe, get us started on this one. Your 22 under 22 player to watch for 2021.
I just wrote a piece in The Athletic with this guy's name in it. I think he was the first player that made that article. Luis Binks, baby. No one talks about him, or I feel like no one talks about him. He's a center back, and I got to keep my brand up. He's 19 years old. He played 1,800 minutes last year, but yeah, he didn't get a lot of buzz by most folks, and myself included at times. But he's got a great left foot. He can break lines with his passing. He's comfy under pressure. We don't know what Montreal are going to look like this year under Wilfred Nancy. But I think Luis Binks is one of the few solid players, or one of the few known commodities that Montreal have, and I'm stoked to watch him again this year.
Where are you going with this one, Jordan?
I'm going to go Cole Bassett. Mm. I think it's time. I think Cole Bassett has improved over the last couple of years. He has physically gotten stronger. His passing range has gotten better. He's able to influence the game a little bit more. It was a tough year last year, but I think that this year the Colorado Rapids have to sell him. And that's where I'm going, the 22 under 22. He's going to make a jump not only within the league, but needs to be sold on so the Rapids can show that they do hashtag play the kids and get them to go to bigger places as well.
He's the test case, right? I had him as in my predictions column today. I had Cole Bassett, the 22 under 22 player of the year. Do you think he will be sold? Knowing what you do about the Rapids and that organization, do you think he'll be sold summer or after the season? Or does it matter? When they get the right offer, will they just go and do it?
I don't think it matters. I think they need to sell him. personally, I think you need to show that you can sell a player on to the next level. And I think Cole Bassett is ready for that next move. So I think you take the offer when you can get it.
All right, here we go. Maybe I did steal your pick, Dave. Don't even get at me in the chat right now. Maybe I did. You said something
smart.
Guys,
we hosted a show on Monday where we made our season predictions. Weavey asked who your 2222 player was. I said Cole Bassett as well as my dark horse MVP because, like Jordan said, he's influential. Ooh, he's central to what they do.
That's a dark horse.
If they're a top four team in the West and they're scoring goals and they're creating chances, mm-hmm. is it Diego Rubio? Is it? I hope it's Yunus Nnamdi. I love Yunus Nnamdi. But it's going to be Cole Bassett. And then Weeby's over here writing his articles 2 days later.
Hey, well, what did I say in that show? I said I reserve the right to take anything smart that's said and appropriate it as my own.
Better read the fine print.
And there I did it. All right. It's the kickoff show here before the opening weekend. So we have to ask you guys, as we have everybody else, what's the one game you're watching? What do you care about most? What's the thing you will clear your schedule for no matter what? I know we're doing that anyway. But Jordan, what are you watching?
I think it's an easy choice for me. I'm watching LAFC Austin. That's my game of the weekend because I think it's the introduction back of Carlos Vela. I know he came and played a little bit at the end of last year, but he's back. And I think that team and what they can do against Austin and who they're going to be under Josh Wolf and what that team's going to look like. Is it going to have a little influx of the characteristics that we've seen from Greg Berhalter with his work under him for so long? Just what are the tactics going to be? And I'm looking at this game tactically. Can I pick two? Because of course I have to. Sunday game, it has to be Columbus Philly because the tactics of those two teams are so distinct. And I think what's interesting when they meet up, it's always a quality game and they have to figure out different wrinkles to throw into the tactics to break the other team down. And it's fascinating. So I'm excited for that game as well.
Joe, I hope you weren't sitting on Union crew there.
I wasn't, although I'm excited to watch that one as well. LAFC Austin's a big one for me on Sunday. Jordan and I are going to be talking about that on MLS Assist. And then Inter Miami versus the Galaxy. That's massive, right? Two new coaches. We've already talked about them already. That's a big one for me, tactically talking about this whole season. We get to see two of the biggest high-profile teams in MLS go against each other with two... Greg Vanney's not new to MLS, but two new coaches. That's good stuff, and I'm excited to watch it.
You know what? There's been A+ on the promotional game from you guys, making sure people know all about MLS Assist, the articles at The Athletic, of course, the crew stuff. And you hit the national TV games. We couldn't have asked for more. MLS Assist, go check it out. Wherever you listen to podcasts, on the Total Soccer Show Network, it is awesome. It is one of the two shows, as I said, that I religiously listen to around MLS, the other being Allocation Disorder. Joe, Jordan, thank you for joining us. Hope to see you around soon, all right?
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, guys.
All right, let's keep it rolling. Three in New York, one in Kansas City. I'm definitely the least cool of this foursome. It's the Cooligans!
The Alexis Christian.
I tried to do it. I don't know. I hear you guys do it. It sounds fun. Thank you for coming on the show. It's been too long. I feel like the last time we did this in a parking lot.
Yeah. Wait, did we do this show before? We've never done this show before.
Yeah, never done this
it was
show
a live before. Version of the show. This is a debut.
People aren't going to believe when they see the title and in the description. They're not going to believe we're actually on. They're going to think you hired impersonators, but we are here. It was good.
We're excited to be here. Thank you so much. Obviously, first time, long time fans of Extra Time Radio. Let's go.
Well, it feels like we've done this before because we've sat at MLS parties, we've been at random events, and we've basically done all this without the microphones and the pressures of having to say something similar. My intelligence. So now the pressure's on you. What are you hyped for? What gets you going for 2021? We're here to celebrate. Friday it starts, and then my God, 459 games. It just goes and goes and goes. What are you excited for?
I'm excited to see I'm excited for NYCFC to start. I can't wait to hopefully get back to a match. But I'm actually really excited to see if Columbus is real. They looked really good in CCL. They added BWP. You know, Derek Etienne, I don't know how long that injury is going to leave him out for. But oh my God, they look like world beaters in CCL. They look like they didn't have that, MLS preseason sort of hump to get over. So I'm kind of excited to see what they got.
And I'm excited for NYCFC to prove you wrong, Weeby. They will.
Why me?
Okay. Everybody, for some reason, is doubting them. Alex Ring leaves, and all of a sudden, they're going to be last in the Eastern Conference, just 2 years away from being in CCL. I think Ronnie Dyla, having one season under his belt, I think it's not going to be as bad as you think, for sure. I think they might even do better than fifth from last season.
And bro, we got a Brazilian with one name.
Yeah.
I was going to ask. That's top three.
To be fair, Alexis, a lot of teams have Brazilians with one name. Like, that's not that. Brazilians that's pretty common. Name. Yeah.
Right.
That's pretty normal. Like, a lot of teams have
that. We got two. That's right. We got Hebert and Thiago. I mean, at this point.
And your boy up top, the Argentine. Say it for me. Say it for me, Alexis.
Tati Castellanos? Tati Castellanos, let's go.
I think what I did a 2.5 hour live show with Alexis where he said his name probably 200 times.
Also, we said Tati Castellanos, and I swear he just grabbed his knee, rolled on the floor, and looked at the official to try to get a red card.
We love him for it. Okay?
What is going to be the richest source of material for you guys this year? And if people don't know, on Fubo TV, you see the jersey behind it. I'm watching Fubo TV right now. It's how I get my... How am I get my sports fist? Yes. what's going to be the richest source, do you think? What are you going to be hitting the most?
That's great. Probably LA Galaxy, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
Chicharito doesn't fix things quickly.
It's going to get messy. And not like the Barca Messi.
Well, it could be like the Barca Messi. Which
I was going to say, don't count out the Galaxy.
Yeah, that's a good point, yeah. I think he, you know, he hit the weights, right? Like, he's ready to go this season. It's got to go nice, you know?
I don't think, like, the playoffs, I think, were pretty wild, especially for that match between NYCFC and Orlando. I think it's weird for a lot of people in MLS to have an expectation for Orlando to want more than what they did last season. So I think there's going to be a lot of fun there. I think Austin might be a little bit of a surprise as well. And then also Cincinnati are looking good. I think they're
No. They're just looking full. They're not looking
They look like a proper club that will get some better results and some goals this season. So, look, if
they just got rid of Frankie Amaya, what are you talking about?
But they brought in Lucho. I think if they, similar to LA Galaxy, if they can not look so bad so soon, the jokes will not, we won't be directing too many jokes towards them.
It is interesting you said they looked like a good club, because to Alexis's point, they look like we run the team. We're like, Lucho Costa, I've heard of him. Sign him up, he'll play. And we'll put everyone else out.
One name Brazilian, done. Yeah. 15 million on the table. Make it happen.
Matarita, try number 10. You're the number 10. Give it a try.
Why not? He's good. You mentioned Austin. You guys have a pretty good pulse on what fan bases are like. You know, you get out, you talk to a lot of the fans. That's what our shows are all about. What do you think of what Austin will be more off the field, but also on the field as a club, as a part of MLS now?
I think they're trying real hard to be like the nice guys, which I like. I think they know they came in as like the bad guys. You know, they're like, you know, I think there's an old Mitchell and Webb look, great sketch comedy show if you ever get a chance to see it, where one of the sketches is they're like in the war and then they realize they're the baddies. Oh no, they're like, oh no, I think we're on the wrong side. I think that's how Austin FC started. They were like, we're getting a soccer team. What do you mean everyone hates us? You know? So I think they're actually going to go real far to show their team love. They're going to prove that they're a good fan base. And I think they're going to welcome everyone that's not wearing yellow and black. And I think they're going to try really hard to show, like, we're here for the soccer. We don't care how the team was created.
Yeah, we just did a podcast called El Himno de Austin, which in Spanish, and we got to talk about Austin, especially from the like Latino side. And there is a complete understanding of like, yeah, we know the circumstances, we know what people are saying, we know the narrative, but especially those matches, they're looking forward to those matches against Columbus as well. So I think that's going to provide a spark that a lot of MLS clubs don't really get in their initial years.
LAFC, Austin, of course, that's opening weekend here on Saturday on Fox. Check that one out. What do you think of Matthew McConaughey's his look, let's say, his vibe, his aura today? Did you see that in the...
I only saw incredible. An image.
It was unreal.
I didn't see this.
I'm now, I mean, it's tinted aviator glasses. I'm pretty sure he's in an RV. Yeah, I'm watching this. I'm thinking, my God, like
he was in the Breaking Bad RV. Okay, it looked pretty wild. Look, to add character to Major League Soccer is something I will never poo-poo. You know, go for it.
Be
unique. Be have your own identity. If Matthew McConaughey is going to be the representative of Austinites, I support it. But yeah, the dude looked like he was preparing for a role while he was in this press conference.
Let's make soccer weird and sexy at the same time. You know what I mean?
He's the minister of culture. You guys are the Cooligans are the ministers of what in MLS?
Pizza?
Yeah, I guess pizza. maybe some light money laundering on the side. We're I'm from North.
Oh, man.
Let's go. I think if he gets to be the cool one, I guess we have to change our names. We're now the McConaughey-agins, okay? So we stole your name. I guess we're the czars of loudness. How about that?
Yeah, I think there's what we always feel like we bring to the table is a level of not only, well, obviously we're stand-up comedians, so we're going to joke around a lot, but there is something to, you know, even when we started doing our show that was just as a podcast, other MLS fans were very scared. You guys were probably really skeptical. Who are these guys? They're going to joke around. This is our league. We've been following it forever. So I think it took a while for us to earn people's trust and be like, oh, it's okay to laugh about this league, because the comedy world does not acknowledge and talk about Major League Soccer. And now we have other comedians that are like, yo, I'd love to go to a game with you and things like that. So
we're like, oh, now you want to.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's incredible you think we trust you. Yeah, I was like, that's crazy. I don't know how you could think that. That's insane. Before we let you go.
When it happens, it's going to be awesome.
Oh, yeah, we're going to be like this. We're going to be like this.
You know, when we did a tour in 2018and with Total Soccer Show, and we got to like make, we were in comedy clubs doing jokes about Gam and Tam, and the audiences were laughing. It was like, yeah, I'm cool because I get it. Yeah. And everybody else does not. So that
still shocks me every time I watch the video.
More Gam and Tam jokes to come, of course, or whatever other acronym MLS decides to throw into this mix. Before we let you guys go, first, tell people how they can follow you in the best way possible. Second, tell me the one game this weekend that you have circled outside of NYCFC. I'm not giving you the easy one that you have to watch. That you
they were both going to say NYCFC. Yeah. Didn't know who they were playing. Exactly. Didn't care what time, what day.
It's DC United and, you know, calorie cutting DC United right now. That's who they're playing. But
okay. You can follow us at Soccer Cooligans on all social media platforms. We do a bunch of stuff. We're on Twitter and Instagram. We do a bunch of stuff there. That's where we're most active. And you can watch our show. We're actually moving to a new time slot, Sundays at 7 p.m. on Fubo Sports Network. That's where you can catch the new episodes.
Prime time.
Yeah, yes, baby. Okay. So, and also subscribe to the Fubo Sports YouTube channel for the full episodes of our show. So youtube.com/Fubo Sports. Okay. And, game I'm most excited about probably has to be it's probably the easy one, but LAFC Austin. I think
I was going to pick the same one. Okay. Yeah, way to start, Austin. Here's a team that's really good. Good luck with Carlos Vela, baby.
If to not pick the same one, I'm going to have to say Seattle, Minnesota, just because, you know, we were at the MLS Cup Finals and we just had Stephen Fry on our show. Usually we have that recency bias, you know, where we have a guest. I'm like, all right, I'm excited what Seattle's doing. All right, let's get things off started well. So I think Seattle, Minnesota is going to be a good
game. Did he promise you a painting for the set?
No, but we want one.
Yeah, he had one in his background when he was talking to us.
Can I say Toronto versus Montreal? Because I just love Canada. Shouts to Canada. I hope everything works out up there with the vaccines and stuff. And I just want to see Wanyama looking around like, yo, where's Thierry at?
When I signed, I could have sworn. Like,
yeah,
he was here.
He's going to be looking around and saying like, so this is Montreal? Like, no, exactly. Florida. Welcome home.
Yeah. A little bit different. Oh, man. Go check out the Cooligans, guys. First time, won't be the last time. Thank you for coming on. Thanks for hanging out with us. I know it was quick. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy NYCFC. We'll come back on that. Those prediction fronts. It wasn't just me, Christian. It was everybody on this show, all right? Appreciate you guys. Weeby,
how much do we have to Venmo you again for having us on the show?
That's the silent part. You weren't supposed to. Anders, cut that. Cut right before
it's
that part.
Gam and Tam. Don't worry about it. It'll be
yeah, it's Monopoly money. Don't worry about that. We'll be right back.